It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, this is Golf Is Ruining My Life, and you are listening to it. It's me, Tom Price, and it's him, Tom Green.
Oh, another week, another meandering through the world of our favourite sport, your favourite sport, golf.
It's ruining all of our lives. I love it so much, Tom. I mean,
can I just quit after such a good moment a few weeks ago where I said the golf gods had gifted me an amazing round, and I went to play on Hadley Wood a few weeks ago.
Was this your playing in to become a member?
Yeah.
Go on.
Back to old TG. It was weird because it was all the lessons I learned that we spoke about, the slowing down, the playing calm. Yeah. A lot of it was there for the majority of the round, but some things just went wrong. Yeah. Whereas some things the other week went right, some things went wrong on this round of golf.
What specifically went wrong?
I think just like, when I had my amazing round of golf, every chip off the green would go to almost a gimme range, whereas this was all a bit further out, so I was made to put them, and then you miss some of them, and all that sort of business. But my 7-wood was on fire.
Have you got a new 7-wood?
I got a new 7-wood.
Unbelievable, this guy.
I love it.
So this is the new, the dark stuff.
The dark stuff 7-wood is...
It's called the dark stuff.
Dark speed.
Dark matter.
Yeah. And it tell you what, the way it performs, it should be called the dark matter.
Now, I've never had anything more than a 5. That's not true. I've got a rescue wood. What's the difference then between my rescue, which is a 4-iron, I think that's 19 degrees, and your 7-wood?
I think my 7-wood is 21 degrees.
Oh, that's the difference then. Fine, so just some degrees.
I think it is, yeah.
But the difference between you and me? A couple of degrees.
Just a couple of degrees, a bit of height and ginger.
Ish.
The difference between everything I've ever had before and the 7-wood is the ball flight. The way it comes off the club.
Straight up. So what you're doing is you're hitting sort of a giant 9-iron.
It feels like a 200-yard 9-iron.
And you can come in and plop it down.
It's just a really sexy shot.
I hit a 200-yard rescue wood into a par 5 the other day.
Yeah.
And to be fair, and to be absolutely clear, I was playing with my kids. I was hitting 2 balls. I was in a towering rage.
Mm.
And it was the second one. I dropped 200 yards away, thinned one left into the trees, lost it.
Superb.
But it was a yellow ball. So no one's mourning that. Yeah. It deserves to die.
The yellow balls are the ones that if you find them in the rough, you go, yeah. Aren't they? Top flight? No. Yellow ball. Callaway? No.
That is so true. It could literally be a yellow, you know, tight list.
Pro V1 yellow.
Pro V1. Oh, it's a Pro V1X, but it's yellow. And I have standards. And then the second one I hit, this high floating rescue wood, and it plopped down and it went to about 7 feet for an eagle putt. Yeah. Again, not a real round of golf, but still, that thing where if that was a 5-wood or a 3-wood going, it would have gone low and I'd have been trying to land it before the green and roll it up. Mm-hmm. And then it's all a bit vague. There's something about coming in from on high, which is that's how I chip as well.
Yeah, you do. you are a high tariff chipper. Whereas I'm a bumper runner, you will always do the full swing,
yeah.
bang, yeah. middle of the green thing.
And it's I like the ball going high because it feels a bit more Hollywood. It feels a bit more showbiz.
No, it is sexy.
It's sexy.
A high ball flight is PGA Tour, is sexy golf. And that's why you look at when a lot of Americans come over to the UK and play. I was listening to an amazing podcast recently with a young American amateur.
Don't plug other golf podcasts.
It's nowhere near as good as ours. So. Rick Hu. And he was talking about the difference between playing in England and playing in America, or even playing in Europe and playing in America. And in America, it's all about high ball flight, big shots, yardage.
Yeah.
And he came and played on the Challenge Tour, and it was a lot more irons off tees, a lot more fiddly. But that high ball flight is sexy.
And that is a pretty neat way of, it's not entirely accurate, but it's a pretty neat way of summing up the difference between a kind of North American approach to golf and a European approach to golf, isn't it? You go high into these soft, sort of cushiony courses in America. Still got to be good. Still takes a huge amount of skill. Obviously, I'm not saying either's better.
Yeah.
But down here or over here, it's a bit lower, maybe a bit more windy.
A bit more linksy.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, a bit more linksy. And you sort of, you know, you're pinballing around, you're funneling around trying to find your way on there. So the seven was a thing of great beauty.
I would say to any golfer listening to this, put a seven wood in your bag. And people, we had a load of comments because we put a video about this on TikTok and we had people talking about a heaven wood. Are you aware of this?
No.
A heaven wood is either a five wood, I think it's a five wood head with a three wood length shaft.
Oh, that is heavenly.
Bit more yardage.
Oh.
It's a bit easier to hit than a three wood because you've got that loft, but you've got the length of the shaft to get it a bit further, a bit more swing speed.
Oh, that is sexy.
The Heavenwood.
That is, if you had to marry one of your golf clubs, you'd marry a Heavenwood, wouldn't you?
I would marry my 7-iron right now. I'd marry my 7-wood right now.
Yeah. Have you tried chipping with it? Because people do chip with the 7-wood. I've seen that happen. And again, this is one of those things where you assume, certainly from my age, playing golf in the 90s, anyone chipping with a 7-wood had to be at least 70.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and that was the rule. If you had an 8-wood, you were in your 80s, 9-wood, 90s, et cetera, et cetera. That I feel has changed, rightly, because it is just...
Hope so. Guys? Yes.
Have you tried chipping with it?
No. When I see people chip with 3-woods or 5-woods or 7-woods, I always have the same thought, which is, when are you practicing that?
Yeah.
Are you on the side of a chipping green going, get my practice in? I just don't think people do it, do they?
Yeah. There's nothing worse than total humiliation in the practice area. When you're doing a chip, I did this the other day and I was looking, and are you a little bit self-conscious when you're practicing? If you're on the putting green, do you know what I mean? And you sort of feel, is this just me being an egotist? I sort of feel like other golfers are looking at me and sort of, is he good?
What's he?
And if I hit a good shot, I think, I wonder if anyone's seen me just hit that one.
If I hit a good shot on a putting green, I do this. Rolls in.
Yeah.
Anyone see that?
Yeah.
Anyone see that?
Did you?
Hey,
that is exactly what I mean. Where is this weird golf vanity that appears when I'm on the putting green? And I start to hear these words. I mean, and to be clear, I'm not looking at anyone else's. I don't care about anyone else's, but I still think people might look at mine.
I think I do look at other people's. And do also, if I'm on the putting green and say I'm going to hole A and my ball accidentally ends up next to hole B, you better believe that on my next shot, I'm going for hole B to try and make it look like that's where I was going from the start.
That's
fine.
That's got to be the ultimate putting green faux pas. When you putt to the wrong hole and someone else is already putting to you. Sorry, mate.
Sorry.
A bit like sort of sidling up to someone at a urinal and you're right next to them. Sorry, mate. We're obviously both aiming for the same hole here.
And I wanted to do something quite quickly on the show because we know we've had loads of new listeners recently to the podcast. And we had an email, which we're going to come back to, I think, later on in the show, of someone trying to join.
There's been a beep here because we're worried we might get sued. So we're actually in the podcast, but now this is earlier in the podcast. We're worried we're going to get sued, so we've put a beep.
Golf course.
Are we allowed to name and shame here?
I think this is what I love about this show is
we should
just be honest.
It's all real.
It's all real. It's an email someone had from he tried to join and the hoops that he was made to jump through. Mm. But on the email, he said, I know one of you is from Preston. We've had loads of new listeners that maybe haven't gone all the way back to the start to know all about us. So, hi, I'm Tom Green. I'm 29. I play off 10-ish. I'm the one from Preston.
I'm Tom Price. I am 43.
Yeah, fine.
I play off 5-ish, and I've never even been to Preston.
Oh, no.
If I was to come and play golf in your neck of the woods, take me through what you would do. How would you show me the best of Preston golf? What would you do?
I think let's not look at exactly Preston, although there are great golf courses in Preston. Preston Golf Club, where I was a member. I was a junior member. But you're in that part of the world. You're in the Northwest. That's some of the best golf in the country is in the Northwest. You've got Royal Lytham, you've got Lytham St. Anne's, you've got St. Anne's Old Link, you've got all those amazing golf courses.
Okay, great. Which one are you taking me to? I'm coming down for the day. I'm like, mate, two rounds of golf in your manner. Where are we going? Where are we starting? Where are we finishing?
We're going to play Preston Golf Club because it's my home golf club.
Lovely.
And it is really special.
Are we playing there first or in the afternoon?
We're gonna play there on the Saturday,
okay.
And on the Sunday we're gonna play, because I don't want to break anyone's bank.
Yeah.
It's not crazy money.
Okay.
We're gonna do St. Anne's Old Links.
This is unlike you.
Sorry.
Normally with golf, you've got a sort of Brewster's Millions approach to golf. Like you're trying to spend all of your money.
Yeah.
You're trying to blow the generational wealth that you've got from radio.
You're trying to blow it on golf.
Okay, good. If you came down to South Wales, my neck of the woods, we'd start the day playing at Royal Porthcawl.
Okay. Right?
Beautiful, incredible course.
Linksy.
Yeah. As the sun came up, it would look absolutely incredible. Then we'd drive up the M4, and of course, you'd get to Celtic Manor. Obviously.
See previous episodes for my review on that.
Is it Celtic Manor or Celtic Manor? Have I lost my mind?
It is. I always get that Celtic wrong. Manor.
It's Celtic, isn't it?
Because you told us the rule
S
on this.
Scotland.
S for Scotland.
I just have to, you know, you doubt yourself. So
that was your own thing.
I know.
That
I
was
know,
your own
I
bit.
I forget my own rules, Tom.
Yeah.
So we'd have a lovely time at Royal Porthcawl, and then we'd drive on the M4 towards Celtic Manor, right? We'd look at it, and then we'd drive right past it. We wouldn't even go in. We'd drive up the A449 back to my hometown, Monmouth, and we'd play the Rolls of Monmouth.
Of course, the lovely Rolls of Monmouth.
Absolutely beautiful. On the land where Charles Rolls, off of Rolls Royce, grew up on his land, and it's all been turned into a golf course, and it is absolutely divine. The most perfect parkland golf course.
It was Rolls Royce's.
It was Rolls Royce's.
And we can't stress enough, golf really is an approachable sport that isn't for the millionaires.
Really
it's
accessible.
Fine.
It is absolutely beautiful. That's what we do. Be great.
Talked about golf courses.
Yeah.
We did a whole bit on the show a few weeks ago that we got obviously slated for online about people's opinions of the old course and whether it's not or is or isn't worth it. At the moment, I'm looking to do a lads trip for my UK stag do.
Oh, I love the fact you've got a UK stag do.
We've got the abroad stag do.
Oh, my God.
And then we've got a UK stag do.
So is that like a tier B stag do?
It's the dad's stag do.
Right, okay. Dads and uncles, here we go.
Dads and uncles will come onto the UK one, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The question is, do I do the UK stag do at the Belfry?
Oh, yeah. They do amazing packages there.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
But I've heard a lot of people on our video about the old course say the Belfry just ain't that good. And I want people's opinions. Is it worth... Because it potentially is the perfect stag do golf venue.
There tends to be this perception that when you get somewhere that's very good to book packages, like the Belfry Celtic Manor as well is the same thing. And we've spoken about Celtic Manor before. It's not that great. And the Belfry, a lot of people have a similar thing. So what is the perfect hybrid where you get a really beautiful course that's a bit special, but also it is a bit like 200 quid for a couple of days, you know, for a night, and you'll get some... I'll tell you where you can get good packages, right? And I'm only saying this because my mates off to do it. Prince's down in Kent, which is right next door to...
Royal St. George.
Royal St. George's. And it is, a lot of people say, similarly, I guess, to the courses around St. Andrews, a lot of people say, actually, it's as good, if not better. St. George's is an amazing course. But Prince's is supposed to be absolutely pucker. And the deal he's got is like 200 quid and you get two rounds and one night in a hotel. It's a good...
Wow.
Yeah. The thing is, obviously, when you go, I think they're going in like March. So there's a bit of a risk they'll be in a storm.
Yes.
But you know what? It's still... I think that's a risk worth taking. I really do. Because there is a danger with a lot of the packages you get where the courses are just fine. And that's fine. If that's what you want to do and you've got people who aren't that into golf and they're going to play twice a year and this is one of those rounds, that's fine.
I think to do great golf trips, it requires more from you because you've got to plan it. I think the best golf trip to do ever would be to go up to Scotland, get an Airbnb and go, we'll just get tea times here, King's Barnes, the old course. We'll go and do them all.
Yes.
But it's going to require you booking them, you getting the tea times. It's not that easy. Turn up, put your clubs in your hotel room at the Belfry, go and play golf, go back to your room, get on the beers. It's all there for you.
That's the thing. It's so, it's almost like, and I'm not saying the Belfry is like this at all, because I've never played, so I don't have an opinion on the Belfry, but it's a plastic, fantastic thing. It's like a shopping centre approach to golf. You know what I mean? It's all there under one roof.
Yeah.
The one thing I would say about Scotland, you're absolutely right. The idea of going up there, getting an Airbnb and just mooching around is good.
Hold on. You're not going to pull my dream apart here, are you? Because is in my head of doing that.
What I'm going to say is, and again, it's the phrase that is... If you're playing Golfers Ruining My Life, bingo. When I played Dornoch, we played 3 rounds in 3 days, and an agency put it together for us because all those courses talk to each other.
Okay.
So a lot of courses talk to each other and say, look, let's offer a package. So I wouldn't advise necessarily going up there and just putting it together yourself. I wouldn't advise doing a... What's it called? Not TripAdvisor.
Like a Golf Breaks thing. Call Golf Breaks and say, I want to do this.
Golf Breaks. And then you'll get courses who all talk to each other and form a little alliance, and you can play 3 or 4 at a much reduced rate rather than doing it all yourself. Expedia, that's what it is, isn't it? Expedia, when you build your own holiday.
That's actually great advice. Look at you, consumer advice.
I know. I've sort of surprised myself.
This show's not just us taking the piss out of each other.
Yeah, I know. This might have been the best 15 minutes so far.
Yeah.
I think we should go to ads now and celebrate the fact that we've done an okay first half of the show.
Just before we go to ads, I've got an incredibly hot take coming up.
Oh,
hottest of takes.
I love a hot take. And just so you know, listeners, what's going to happen is we're going to put this hot take as a clip, probably on TikTok and Instagram, which of course you can follow us on.
Golf is Ruining My Life on TikTok.
And if you could go on, because I sort of feel like the podcast listeners is our gang. And then when we end up on those places, other people come along and call us
idiots.
A lot of people then come along and listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Thanks. But podcast guys, the A-list, the tier A.
Yeah.
Right. If you could go and follow and say nice things,
I think
you agree.
I completely agree with that analogy. I feel like the people that listen to this show, which is growing incredibly week in, week out, the circle is getting bigger, but you are our friends.
Yes.
So when we say something stupid, you go, he's had a pint, he's fine. But when we go onto the internet, it's like a mega club and we say something stupid and they go kill him.
Do you know what you are? You are the gimme gang. I'd get anyone listening to this podcast, they're the gimmies. I'm giving you that because you're in the circle of friendship.
Yes.
That's what we're going to call you. If you are an original podcast listener, you're in the gimme gang.
Yeah.
As soon as you've come to us via TikTok or Insta, we love you and I'm sure we'll get to know you. But for now, I'm going to have to see you put that one away, please.
Hot take on the way.
Welcome back to Golf is Ruining My Life. Over to Tom Green from Preston for his hot take? Hot take, please.
Here's my hot take. My hot take as a man that owns one of these, Scotty Camerons aren't worth the money.
Of course they're not worth the money. They cost like £300 in dollars. I have no idea how much it is. $500. I don't know.
Scotty Camerons aren't worth the money.
No way.
I own one and I'm very happy I own one and it's cool. And I'm glad I've got it in my bag because I've told you this story before. When I came back to golf when I was 24, 25, I bought all the things that my mum and dad wouldn't let me have.
Yep, yep.
Scotty Cameron, electric trolley, right? It's instantly. The Scotty Cameron has in no way improved my putting, but it has made me feel better.
But I feel like this about a lot of kit. If you took the money of a Scotty Cameron, which is like 300 quid, isn't it?
I think it was more than that. I think it was 400 and something.
Okay. I'm going to give you an 80 quid putter and I'm going to give you the rest of the money towards golf lessons.
Oh, yeah, get better. Yeah.
What's going to make a bigger difference?
God, that's depressing.
But it's true. Why do we do that? Because everyone who likes golf is obsessed with buying the bits of metal. Fine, treat yourself every now and again, but box clever. Fine, spend 500 quid on that amazing new driver, preferably the Cobra one. It's insane. Fine to do that. But every now and again, just stop. If you're about to drop 300 quid on a crazy wedge... say, like the Vokies aren't 300, but they're expensive.
They're a lot of money, yeah.
And they are very, very nice clubs. But just think, actually, if I spent 80 quid on a secondhand, really nice wedge, and then 100 quid on a couple of lessons.
So, I mean, that leads us to a really interesting point. What will improve your game quicker? New gear or more lessons?
Lessons. That is an absolute no-brainer. I get it with new gear. There's a novelty to it, and sometimes it looks nice against the ball, and sometimes you can buy maybe an iron with a nice offset bit on it and it's easier to hit. That will help, but the difference that investment in those irons, however many pounds or dollars that is, if you throw that at a good teacher, a good coach, doesn't compare.
But I reckon I can change your opinion on that if I put it like this.
Go on.
1980s blades with lessons, or spend a bit more money and get some forgiving pings. Surely.
But what you've done is 1980s blades are insanely difficult. That's 40-year-old golf clubs. Be reasonable.
Okay, so your dad's old kit. So
let's go 2010.
Older than that. Like your dad's old kit.
The 2000s.
2000s Titleist. Or, and some lessons.
Yeah.
Or, you're an 18-20 handicapper, or a nice little cavity back set of pings.
And let me be absolutely clear, we're not involving Woods, because obviously we all know that the things that have happened with Woods, the differences that have happened there with the technology are massive.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't think we should include
this.
This is
just an iron conversation.
Basic irons.
Yeah.
100%, and I'm right about this, you use the 2000 Titleist and you get some lessons. 100%. If you get a set of Titleist irons from 2000 or Mizuno or anyone, yeah, right, that are decent, in decent nick and have got good grooves in, so they still get some spin on them and some bite and nice grips, right?
Yeah.
And they cost you like 150 quid or 100 quid. They'll be really cheap. And then you have got then a new set of irons now. You're knocking on a grand.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So 900 quid on good coaching. Forget about it. It's the coaching.
Yeah, okay, I see what you mean. I just think my game was held back at when I came back to golf because of the irons that I had. Because I had Muscleback Titleist AP2s, which are great irons, really nice irons, but I don't think they helped my game.
But I think you've got loads better because your swing has changed and you've done the thing that's helped your game is the way you're swinging so much slower. Yeah, you've got a really nice long swing now. That has made all the difference.
Yeah. But new pings.
Oh, mate, my mate John, every time I play with John, his first topic of conversation is, what have you got your eye on now? It's like just the act of playing golf is this willing partnership with commerce. And I don't know where other sports do that. In the
cycling
same,
is cycling must be.
Cycling is a lot of kit.
Yeah, a lot of gear.
There's a lot of gear, there's a lot of stuff. What kind of lycra are you getting this week? I get that. But golf feels very closely bonded with buy your way out of the difficulty of this game. And the problem is, the reality is you very rarely will. And when you do buy a bit of kit that really works nicely, here's another thing. It does fade. It does wear off a bit.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What is your trophy club? What is the golf club that is the one you want people to walk past and go, oh, that's nice? Because you're saying about the Scotty Cameron.
Yeah.
For me, one of the biggest appeals about a Scotty Cameron is the trophy club effect of it, is having other people look at her and go, wow, she's nice. He must be really good. He must be successful. It's a bit like having a, you know, stupidly overpriced watch on your wrist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the Rolex vibe.
Yeah.
Do you feel that with the Scotty Cameron? Be honest, when you've got the Scotty Cameron out, do you feel a bit like, check me out?
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, it's golf jewelry, isn't it? We've always said this, that the Scotty Cameron is golf jewelry.
Yeah.
And it just connects me with all my mates that had them when they were young, and I really wanted one. I really, really, really wanted a Scotty Cameron, and I was never allowed one.
I would say that in defense of Scotty Cameron, I do feel like we've just gone at them a bit. Anyone who's ever held one and putted with one, they are absolutely stunning.
They're the best putters in golf for a reason, but will it make your putting a million times better? No. Is pound spent on a Scotty Cameron going to equal more putts drained?
No. And also, let's be honest, if you've got the money, why not treat it like it's a nice thing to have?
It's your sport.
Yeah, it's a nice thing to be able to, if you work really hard and you send something to look forward to and buy.
Yeah.
Like that is a big part of the joy of golf. And this is often frowned upon, or other golfers might look at you and be a bit like, come on, mate, just play with your normal clubs. Why are you getting new clubs every year?
Right.
I think a big part of the game of golf is we should take more pride in buying the kit and having the stuff. There's always a slight, oh, all the gear, no idea. People sort of, do you know what I mean? They're a bit sort of self-deprecating about it, like, oh, I've got all this stuff. We should be a bit more like, I've worked really hard this year, and I only get to play golf once a week,
yes,
twice a week at the most. I really want nice stuff when I do it. I feel no shame in it.
I don't know whether there has to be a monetary value attached to that, though, because if you turned up and I was playing a round of golf with you and you had a brand new set of Cobra irons, yep, I'd be really interested. I'd want to see them. If you turned up with a set of Mizuno blades from the early 2000s, I would 100% want to see them. It's the same. It's just different, shiny, exciting. I love golf clubs that have stories attached to them. Yeah. I've had this wedge for ages. Or you see people when you play around and golf with them and they've got a 3-wood in their bag that they've had for 30 years and they just love it and it works for them.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
They'll
never get rid of it. Or they've got their dad's old putter. Fascinating. Yeah. Or they've got really rusty old wedges, a trusty rusty or whatever. I want to hear about it.
Yeah.
That's what I like about golf stuff is the amazing stories that they have with them. Whether it's a Scotty Cameron or I've got a real obsession with a TaylorMade Spider putter I love. If I see anyone that's got one of them, tell me.
Yeah.
I want to hear about it.
So your Scotty Cameron then, is it one of the big sort of fat ones? Because I've just got a new Cobra putter heading my way, and it's massive.
Mm.
It's the size of my foot, and I'm a size 13 foot. Like, it's just this huge thing. So is yours one of the big ones, or is yours like a little tiny blade thing?
I should have got the big one.
Interesting.
I should have got the big one.
Interesting. Well, it's all right. It's not too much of an investment. Just get another one.
Fine. Just sell it. It's fine.
Good job that spending all that money didn't make you really focus on what you should have got.
No, I think I've told this story before. When I got my Scotty Cameron, I went into a fitting and I did the thing, which is I knew what I wanted.
Yeah.
I went to the fitting and I said, yep, I want the Newport. I want the Newport. And he was like, oh, but that's got to be pretty good. Like, that's a really, like, it's a good golfer's putter, pretty sure that was Tiger Woods' putter, the Newport.
Yeah.
I tried it, and he was like, oh, you probably want a bit more recovery. We want a bit more stability as well by having more weight on the putter.
The chunkier, bigger.
Yeah, there's a reason why they're more helpful. It stops the club face turning on the way back and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. And yes, there'll be people online that say that's not true. And more often than not, a bigger putter will help you put if you're a worse golfer.
Yeah.
But I really wanted the Newport. And we met in the middle by getting a square back, which is the profile of a Newport, but it's got a bit more coming out the arse of it.
Okay. And what should you have got? You should have just gone for the big
I think it's called the Scotty Cameron Phantom.
Yes.
Is a big forgiving putter. And I had a big forgiving putter from Cobra and I putted really well with it.
Right. So do you always putt with the Scotty Cameron?
I go between that and the Cobra one, yeah.
Sorry, what?
But then this is quite boring. The reason the Cobra one
we have no levels on this show. We will go into the most boring depths of golf. Hang on. You change your putter. That is like, as far as I'm concerned, like changing golf clubs every other week. Once I've got my putter, that's in my bag and that's not going anywhere.
So, God, this is boring and only golfers will care about this. For so
Welcome
long.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, this is the show. Yeah, so I had a Scotty Cameron for ages, and then I went on a Cobra shoot, and I didn't have a Cobra putter, although I had everything else Cobra in the bag.
Yeah.
And then I got given a Cobra putter because they were like, we'd like you to have a Cobra putter. I was like, of course, absolutely.
Happy to help with that.
Yeah. And I putted amazing with it, and then I lost the head cover. The head cover is at Em's dad's golf course behind the desk. And since then, I've never had it in my bag because you can't. If you play golf with someone whose putter doesn't have a head cover.
Oh, that is.
What's actually going on, mate?
If you are playing golf with someone you don't know, right? And you're looking just at their kit.
Yeah.
What are the red flags?
So hold on.
That is going to be it. The ultimate red flag is no putter cover.
The ultimate red flag is cover on everything or cover on nothing.
Yeah. It's all down to covers.
You turn up and the driver and the 3-wood are coverless. Mm. And so is the putter.
Also,
you're insane.
A thing for me, I'd be like, I'm in for a really bad few hours, is if they've got like a normal stand bag, and in the bottom bit, everyone knows that's where the putter goes.
Oh, yeah.
If they're putting their drivers in the bottom bit.
Yeah. There's an order, mate. There's an order.
I'd actually have to say, I'm so sorry. Do you mind if I just rearrange your clubs?
Can I just...
Thank you so much.
Sort it out for you. Yeah, it's a head cover-based conversation, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. A lot of it's covers.
Can we... I want to go to the letter that we had.
We've only got 5 minutes left now.
Oh, so we don't have time for the letter?
Oh, yeah, no, we do. This is perfect. We can slot the letter in now.
I think we slot the letter in.
Let's do it. Let's go for it. Let's do it.
Do you want me to read it?
You've got it in front of you. You've got your laptop out. Let's do it. I'm going to have a sip of my drink.
Okay, fine.
Here we go.
So we've had this email. Should I just read it?
Yeah.
As we're not going to say the golf course's name.
We said it earlier.
And we regret saying it
because we shouldn't really... do that. No, the email's technically confidential. So we're not, the email's technically confidential. We're not going to say any names from the person who sent the email, nor are we going to reference the club. But if we ever meet you in real life, we'll absolutely tell you.
Oh, of course. Yeah. If you ever come up to us in real life and say, what was that golf club that sent the email? Yeah. It's fine. And also, just on this point, defending this anonymous golf club, I actually don't think this golf club is doing anything loads of other high-end golf clubs in the UK aren't already doing.
This is a problem with golf, not this golf club specifically.
This is a problem with golf, and this is also what you'll find if you are new to inquiring to a really high-end golf course.
Yeah.
I think you will be a bit taken aback by these are the hoops I got to jump through.
Unbelievable. Okay.
Anyway, to the email. Okay. Hello, the Toms. Thanks for passing your email over on TikTok. The thread below blew my mind. Take a look and see if this is something similar to your experience of inquiring at Woburn, which I did. 7 years on a wait list. That's actually not true, because I now had a proper email from Woburn. It's 3 years, 2 or 3 years.
On the wait list?
On the wait list.
And what are the numbers with Woburn again?
Woburn, again, I was wrong, because I've now got the email for my age group.
Yeah.
It's £5,000 joining fee.
And then membership?
£3,000 a year. Not that bad. No, it's not crazy. No.
It's Woburn. It's not that, yeah. That's amazing. Anyway.
Context. This is back to the email. I played as a junior at Leyland, Shore Hill and Penwitham. I think one of you guys is from Preston. Yeah,
Tom Green,
me. Yeah. But finished when I was in my early teens. A friend picked up golf last year and I've started playing again. A lot has changed since I was a junior. I'm now 37. I'm a decent player, currently playing to 10, although my mates think I'm a bandit and that I find myself in a significantly better financial position than when I was at 13, pot washing at Leyland Golf Club and working at the halfway hut. Oh, what a dream. Golden years.
Glorious.
I could cry.
Love it.
I work hard and I like the nicer things in life when I can justify them. Couldn't agree more. If you want to spend your money on golf,
Scotty Cameron,
do it.
Right there. The Scotty Cameron factor right there.
I've started to hunt for a new golf club, as in a place to join.
Yeah.
Exciting times. A place I could stay for life. After some research, I found that the previous host of the boop was boop golf club, which is located next to boop. Only a 30-minute drive from where I live. Boop. So I emailed asking how I could become a member. Their response was old school. Predictable, but still managed to surprise me and has me feeling a bit silly for even asking the question. You should never be made to feel silly about anything, is what I think about that. A quick summary of the brief encounter. The waiting list just closed for the next 2 years.
Unbelievable.
Damn it. Even then, of the 150 suitable applications they had in at the last round, 25 remain on a reserve list who I assume are brought in should Frank or Edna pass on.
Because Frank, he's playing slower and slower.
He's slow. It's 6 hour round for Frank
now.
That
is a hypothetical Frank and not based on anyone real. Thank you.
Exactly. £5,000 entry fee is punchy, but acceptable.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the place. No issue with it at all. It's amazing. Membership fee is reasonable too. Even cheap, I'd say. Perhaps this is why it's in such high demand. A BMW for fiat money, if you like.
Interesting.
To stand a chance, you need connections at the club. Not something I do have in my immediate phone book. If you do have connections, they will be interviewed and questioned as to your suitability.
So to be clear here, if you do have connections, they will be interviewed and questioned as to your suitability. So
yeah, that's pretty normal, I think.
I will say, no, I know it's normal, but again, that's positive.
It's bonkers talking about. Yeah.
To play a sport, someone's going to sit you down and say, what is that Chris guy like? Tell me everything about him. And you're just going to have sort of arbitrary gossip about how he comes across.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And assuming Chris doesn't have anything obvious, like, you know, a massive criminal record or something obviously troublesome, it's madness. He can be a bit loud sometimes. Oh, can he be loud?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not for us.
Scratch him off the list.
Ridiculous.
If you do have connections, they will be interviewed and questioned as your suitability, assuming under spotlight in a dark room with a lie detector strapped to them. A round of golf with an official. Again, I don't mind this. I actually quite like it.
Yeah.
I must provide references from my employer.
That is crazy. And the best thing about this is Chris is self-employed, so that's me, which is brilliant. So if that ever happened, Chris, you would have to write your own references.
Be really
critical. I mean, that is references from your employer.
Yeah, that's good. That I've never heard that. I haven't heard before.
That one is new on me. I mean, this is like, you know, I know people who are trying to get citizenship in the UK.
Yeah.
It's not far off.
No.
Like, it's madness.
I get the impression they thought I was on the beg for a free trial route. Oh, yeah. I bet they get a lot of that. I'm joining. Can I get a round?
Actually, exactly
what I did with Hadley Wood, although I am thinking of joining. Not the case, but a discounted round would have been appreciated if gaining a membership in the next 6 months or so was possible. If I get through all of that, I face the dreaded committee for interrogation.
You then have to go up, like you see in the movies, you know, when they have the intelligence committee in front of you, or you know what I mean? Or like a parliamentary committee where loads of people are going to be peppering you with questions. And what questions are they going to ask? Like, what do you do if it's quiet on a Sunday evening and you're playing two balls and the greenkeeper asks you not to play two balls? What would you do? It's just nonsense.
Yeah.
I mean, what questions are the committee going to ask? And what do your family do? Which school did you go to?
Yeah.
I keep knocking this microphone. It's the British class system wrapped up in a sport. And it's so annoying because it's such a great sport.
Yeah, this is a bit silly, isn't it? And the prize, a partial membership. I could only get 6 days maximum. Six. If I want the pleasure of using my membership on one of the 2 days a week I don't work, I have to wait 4 or 5 years. Support the club, brown envelope, and hope for the best.
Yeah, support the club. I mean, again, what does that mean, support the club? Because this is a club you're not going to be allowed to play at because you're not a member.
Yeah.
So how am I going to... That's crazy. That's like saying, please support our school, even though you haven't got any kids here.
I'm in a fortunate position, at least financially, where membership is possible at such a club. I also believe I'd be a decent member. As if you even have to say that, of course you would. And someone who wouldn't bring the club into disrepute, of course you wouldn't. I have huge respect for the heritage and prestige and the values of golf, but I think this is too far. Reminds me of being a junior and a lot of things in my eyes that are wrong with the game's accessibility. You got to love this. Despite all of this, I've submitted details to stay on the waitlist and found members through a friend who will propose me. Because the heart wants what the heart wants. I hope to be in by my 42nd birthday, 20th of the 12th, 2029. In the meantime, I do want a new club. Something linksy that isn't a swamp in winter. Any suggestions? Sorry for the essay / rant. Kind regards, a fan, Chris.
Ah, Chris, that's a great email. Thank you so much.
Such a good email.
Have you got any suggestions for a nice linksy course? Somewhere easy to join, like Lytham, maybe.
Yeah, but who knows if this is in this area, so who could possibly say?
It's interesting, and also very interesting that Chris ultimately has gone for it, and good luck with it. And Chris, don't forget, of course, if you then get in, you can become part of the furniture, and you can then be the one who changes stuff and makes it more accessible.
Yeah.
Imagine being a kid playing somewhere like that. Imagine how fusty it is, and you know, sitting in the wrong chair, shirt not tucked in. The email from the course as well, and I'm you know, obviously,
I've not read that yet.
Well, we can see the whole thread. We can see Chris's first email, which is very, very civilized, and it's very, you know, like, hello, I'm interested in what you do. I'm interested in your product, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
Good morning, sir. And then this is the reply from the course. Thank you for your inquiry about membership. And on it goes with a list of things. As we've established, there's a 4 to 5 waiting list. If you know any current members who could propose and second your application, this is beneficial as we only take a very limited number of unsupported applications. A very limited number of unsupported. Is it an unsupported application? Well, in that case, it's not for us. If your application is unsupported, we would require references from your current club and employer. Well, what if you don't have a current club because you haven't played for years? The membership process is quite lengthy. Involving interviews of your proposer, so as we've said.
The guys that you know have got to go and say why they want you to be a member.
Golf with a club official, that's going to be some boring guy called Peter.
God.
Who hangs around the
dressing room. Peter's an absolute nightmare as well. We all know Peter's a nightmare.
Absolute bore. He'll tell you anecdotes about how they funded the new halfway house.
you'll have to nod on and pretend that great. Yeah.
Limited details, name and club. This is interesting. Limited details, name and club are circulated to members for 2 weeks. To allow for objections.
Oh, I've heard this. There's another club that I've played at where this is a thing. Where there's a club that I was really lucky to get round. Where they'll put if you're a woman, they'll put your name on a blackboard in the locker room.
Yep.
And if one person has heard something bad about you, they just take your name off the board and you're off.
That's right.
I'd never heard of a golf club doing that outside of that one club, though.
It's...
God, that's old school.
Unbelievable. Hang on, what was the... Because I heard that story about Sunningdale.
It was...
Okay.
This is all getting beeped.
Yeah, good. Do keep our reputation, because obviously we want to play on those courses.
Yeah, of course, I'd love to join.
You know, it is just so sort of... It's perfectly civilised. You know, not for a second am I like, this is so rude.
No, it's not... No.
Rude about it, but it's just... It is the way that golf...
But is it just golf or is it a certain category of sports? Having just watched King Richard, the film about the Venus Williams and Serena Williams,
yeah.
seeing what they had to go through to get into tennis clubs yes. in California,
yeah.
there is clearly, when you get to the upper echelons of any amateur sport, yeah. there are institutions that want to keep certain people out and keep the people in who are in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not just a golf problem.
No, it
isn't. It's clearly a tennis problem. It's probably not a football problem. Probably definitely a rugby problem.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I don't know enough about the way it works with rugby clubs. I definitely don't know enough about football stuff. I just know that I'm quite lucky to be at a very accessible golf course that makes a real point of being as inclusive as possible. And it's got to be, because otherwise the sport is going to die. It's really that simple. We've run out of time, but I'd love to know what you think about this. The Toms at golfismyrlife.co.uk. Is this fine or is this elitist nonsense? It's a pretty high-end course as well, to be fair.
Super
this is not a local
course.
Municipal course. This is a decent course. So does that play into it here? This is a special place to play golf. So therefore, if you're going to play on a special course, you do need to jump through these hoops. Is it reasonable?
Yeah, or do they? Or is it just a financial thing? I don't know, because, oh God, it's so much, isn't it? Like, do you just go, okay, well, you have to pay all this money, and then that keeps certain people out who can't afford it. But then that's not fair. It's just, it's hard, isn't it?
But so much about this is formalizing what kind of person are you?
Yeah.
And that should have nothing to do with what sport you play. Sure,
yeah.
You should play a sport where you know about etiquette and you know how to behave, but that's life everywhere. Everything you do, getting a job or whatever, you should have those factors. But
yeah.
Being closed off, making a club that's closed off, and the doors only open depending on what type of person you are. And I think we can all look at the dog whistle. We all know what's behind that: class, race, gender,
yeah,
all those
of course.
Things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's really problematic and sad, and hopefully massively in the minority these days.
But before we finish on this, but I don't think I want to go full. I don't want to go fully one way around. I'm like, everyone should be able to play on every golf course in the UK, because that's just not capitalism. That's not how this. But it's not how the society works.
Yeah.
There's certain restaurants in London that unless you can afford the bill, you can't go and sit at, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you
yeah,
can't
yeah.
argue that that's wrong and that they shouldn't exist.
Mm.
But what does that mean? Do we mean that we can't have any high-end golf courses because it stops people who can't afford it playing on them?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Scotty Cameron's all round. That's what Tom Green is saying.
Scotty Cameron's for everyone, for you and for you.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget, we're on all the social media bits and bobs. Golf is really my life. Do give us a follow on TikTok and TikTok.
I'd love you to follow me on TikTok.
TikTok, give us a follow on TikTok and indeed TikTok, and you know, defend us. You are in the gimme. You're the gimme gang, so defend us from the newcomers. We don't like the newcomers. We've got to interview their friends to find out if they can
put them on
to
a board. Wipe them off. See you next time.
Bye bye bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.